I'm Frank Vaughn. It's still October 11th, 2024, and I feel compelled to speak from the heart about the matter of addiction and this notion that we need to treat addicts like they are victims, that we need to consider their background, their socioeconomic conditions, the parents they grew up with, and all these other factors which take responsibility for their choices away from them and put it on some broader concept of society that is impossible to pin down, but it deprives them of any personal responsibility they have for the terrible state of their lives. The first story is of a brother, I'm going to call him a brother of mine, that in 2016, I actually thought about going into business with this guy because he was doing so good for himself. He had a business of his own. He had a budding family and a young child, and things looked really good. They actually looked like they were getting their stuff together. There was talk of another child. He had a client list. He was paying his taxes. He was doing his bookkeeping. He put on a sharp shirt every single day when he went into that office, and I was so proud of him. Just this one hits me right in the heart. I was so proud. I'm a very cautious man, believe it or not. I don't like to put my name to things, and I certainly don't like to put my money on the line for anybody else if I think there's some kind of risk. But I thought about getting into business with this guy, so much so that for weeks I worked for him for completely free, and I started to learn his trade. I paid attention to what he was doing, a younger man than I. I was so impressed. And then one weekend, one terrible weekend, they went away. And one of them, whether it was him or his wife, whether she was doing it for longer, it doesn't really matter, she started using meth. And then gradually, over the course of the time, he started using meth. And then their lives fell apart. The money that he had so carefully stewarded, he was so proud because he had money built up in the safe. He was saving. He was working his way towards a house. He had all of these responsibilities and successes. The money disappeared. She started banging the meth dealer. Eventually, the meth dealer moved into the house. Eventually, her sister moved in, and he started banging the sister. The kid got forgotten. The kid became confused about their gender. They weren't really confused about their gender. They were just crying out for attention because they were so horribly neglected. Because their parents put themselves first and put their addiction first and made that choice. Every time they picked up a glass pipe, every time they snorted, they made a choice to put themselves ahead of their responsibility, ahead of being good human beings. And their lives were destroyed by their choices, not by the drugs, not by the influence of their childhood, which may have been bad, may have been good. They did it to themselves. Their marriage fell apart. They were stealing. They defrauded the government. He lost all of his business. He lost his home. He lost the office. He lost everything. Then he took advantage of his parents' kindness. Then he took advantage of his siblings' kindness and eventually burned every single bridge. To the point now where I believe he's living in a place where people brag about stealing the copper out of the walls so that they can get their next fix of meth. He sent me a joke recently, within the last couple months, and it was a video of a guy selling his wife's car out from under her and buying crack with it. He thought this was funny. This guy will ruin every single person that tries to help him. Because he makes a decision. He's not a victim and shouldn't be treated like one. He should be left to discover the consequences of his own actions. I pray for his child, but I don't pray for him anymore, and I don't pray for his wife anymore. They're on their own. They're beyond the reach of prayer. Some people you can't help. And all they will do is hurt all of those around them. And it's time we put the emphasis on all of those around them. They are wrong in the situation. The people around them who are being taken advantage of are the victims in the situation. The greater society. I remember hearing stories from this individual about the corrupt cops involved in the meth business. I remember stories of how people came and go and all the theft and criminality that they got up to. The people that they victimize, the corruption and the drug dealing, those who benefit from the supply, the end user even, who begs, borrows, and steals to put his habit above even his own flesh and blood children. They're not victims. Their victims are those who are encouraged by society to enable them, because we have become a society that enables bad habits, safe supply, needle exchange programs, safe injection sites, anybody that wants to promote stigma when it comes to drug use, and I'm one of them. There should be a stigma. There should be more stigma. Daddy needs to come in the room with a firm hand. And we need to shift the culture away from this belief that enabling somehow makes people better. Look, I knew people back in the day when my life was rough who were on the methadone program. None of them ever got better. They took their methadone and then they kept using. And we were told then that this was compassionate. It never fixed anybody. This false compassion, this false empathy, this bottomless pit of support for people who have turned evil, who can't make a choice themselves to stop, is at the root of the problem. It has rotted the entire tree. And we talk about the decency. We talk about how it's indecent and it's a violation of charter rights to take these very people and force them to change when they ruin everyone around them. Another friend, he was a straight edge kid in high school. He was my best friend. We drank tea together. We smoked cigarettes together. And that was the extent of what we did for a long time. And then he fell into drugs. I don't have to give you the entire play-by-play, but it got worse and worse and worse for him. The very week that my father died, he stole from me. And I came to understand before and after he was stealing from me. He would come to my house and give me compassion, not just about my dad, but about other things. He would have chats with me and listen to me talk about all my problems. And then at the bottom of his laundry basket, he would stash my money and stash my things and walk out of my house. And I would just think that some magic fairy, I guess, walked away with them. Maybe I wasn't too smart, but I also have a tendency to lose things at times. He went through girlfriend after girlfriend. He stole from all of them. He stole from his friends. And in the final summation, he melted his own brain through drug addiction. So there was only half of him left by the time he was done. And then, drunk or high, I'm not sure which, one night, he fell asleep and burned half his mom's house down and killed himself in the process. Before he did that, he stole a bunch of money off his aunt, which he poured into Bitcoin during the bull run, the great bull run of 2021. He managed to lose $8,000. In his drug-addled mind, he managed to lose money in the greatest bull run ever, and it wasn't even his money. And then he had the audacity to be upset with her when she threatened to call the police. Now, I cut this man off. I told him he needed to straighten out. I told him he had to make choices. He's dead now. And I have no regrets. The other individual that I talked about, when I open up my very limited personal social media accounts, which I don't engage with anymore. I mean, talk about Facebook. I look at Marketplace and I stay away from it because it too is a source of constant drama. But there's the window that used to contain my brother from another mother. He's still on the other side of it, but he might as well be dead because the person that I know ceased to exist when the addiction became all-consuming in his mind. He makes a choice. I am not against helping people. I'm not against showing compassion. But when people show you who they are, believe them. And if they're not willing to change, if they can't even own up to the problem, let them mire themselves and wallow in their own creation. We reap what we sow. Addicts are not victims. They make a choice. Every single one of them makes a choice, and I know that because I've been addicted to cigarettes and kicked it. I've been addicted to pills, and I kicked that too. I've been addicted to food, and I am kicking that right now. Probably the hardest addiction of my entire life. That's why I gained, and that's why I ended up being 350 pounds. 350 pounds is so far in the rearview mirror now. I know I'm going to succeed. It started with a choice, one thing at a time, one step at a time. And I've had support, but I fixed myself. I have experience with addiction. I could have a cigarette right now and I have no need to continue to smoke. I've overcome the addiction. I could take a Percocet to cure my pains. And I feel no obligation. I feel no compulsion to just keep taking pills because I beat it, because I made a choice. And some people would say, good for you, Frank, you're strong. Some people aren't strong. That's their problem. That is not the problem of all the enablers in society who are being taken advantage of. Beaten down and destroyed, stabbed, shot, robbed. Having their good hearts just repeatedly bludgeoned. Because the addict is a selfish, narcissistic beast who doesn't want to change. We have got to get away from this culture of enabling. We need to get tough on these people because there are people out there making better choices. There's people putting their health first. There's people putting their families first. There's people who work and skimp and save every single day so that they can take their kids out for ice cream on the weekend, who deserve to do so in peace, to not be not at risk of being robbed or considering what their children might see. We have to restore decency to society. British Columbia is full of addicts. It's full of homeless people who aren't homeless, many, because they have to be. Many are homeless by choice, because they choose addiction, because they choose drugs, because they choose to be weak. The beautiful thing about meritocracy is it sorts the strong from the weak. It settles the score, keeps an level playing field. That's why things weren't so bad in the past, because we knew this. We used to stigmatize stupid behavior. We used to say, hey, if you're a heroin junkie, you're a piece of shit. And you deserve to be treated like one, and you deserve to be called out like one, because you do. The only way, the most effective way, to stamp out socially undesirable behavior is through stigma, is through ostracism. Ostracism is far more effective in guiding a community towards wisdom than jail ever could be. And it's certainly a lot more effective than handing people the drug that they're addicted to, giving them the tools to use it, and granting them legal immunity to use them, and on top of that, using taxpayer money to save their life every time they overdose. This ain't working. I've seen this in my family. I have seen this in my social circles. I have seen what addiction does. I've seen what bad choices do. I've seen what a lack of discipline does. And society's answer for that is to tax all the good people, to subsidize all the bad people and their terrible choices. And the failure of that idea is all around us.